Okay, folks, here we are. The last chapter of the Maccabees. I'll tell you, it's been a good ride here. It's a very, very important part of our history. Between this time, when Alexander the Great was set up, all the way to Christ's first coming. Okay, in the flesh. All right, but Nicanor is going to get his. He's going to do some blasphemy here, of course. And then at the end, we get the author here gets real personal with us. It's really beautiful. So chapter 15 in 2 Maccabees, verse 1. But Nicanor, hearing that Judas and his company were in the strong places about Samaria, resolved without any danger to set upon them on the Sabbath day, of course. See, and that's what I mean. It's not just that they hate the people, they hate God. They hate the religion, they hate everything to do with God. And that has not went away, folks. Two, it says, nevertheless, the Jews that were compelled to go with him said, oh, destroy not so cruelly and barbarously, but give honor to that day, which he that seeth all things hath honored with holiness above other days. So what do the Christians do? What did the Pope do? Well, he moved the day to the first day of the week, the sun day, because his God is Lucifer. It always has been. And they are looking for Lucifer to return out of the heavens. And that's the reason for the great telescope, which is lovingly called Lucy, but its actual name is Lucifer, named after this god that they, Nibiru, Nebo, Sirius, those are all the same names for the same dragon god that they're looking for. And these same people move the day, which, hey, every day should be given to God. But still, it was done purposely to be against God. It just has. Here, you look back here, and there they are honoring this day, of course, okay? Anyway, food for thought. On we go. And even the traitors to their country here want to honor their day. Three, it says, then this most ungracious wretch demanded if there were a mighty one in heaven that had commanded the Sabbath day to be kept. And when they said, there is in heaven a living Lord and mighty who commanded the seventh day to be kept. Well, don't tell the Pope that. Pope said he could move that day. He can tell God what to do, can he? Anyway, five. Then said the other, and I also am mighty upon earth. Yeah. And I command to take arms and to do the king's business. Yet he obtained not to have his wicked will done. In six. So Nicanor, in exceeding pride and haughtiness, determined to set up a public monument of his victory over Judas and them that were with him. But Maccabeus had ever sure confidence that the Lord would help him. Wherefore, he exhorted his people not to fear the coming of the heathen against them, but to remember the help which in former times they had received from heaven, and not to expect the victory and aid which should come unto them from the Almighty. So that's just it. You got to remember. That's the beauty of looking back at histories in our doctrine and knowing the future. You don't move backwards. But you move forwards, but yet you always look backwards at how you got where you were now. and where you're going to be in the future. Okay? So he's asking them to remember all the miracles that they've seen. And that goes for us today too, folks. 9, and so comforting them out of the law and the prophets, and withal putting them in mind of the battles that they won afore, he made them more cheerful. And when he had stirred up their minds, he gave them their charge, shewing them therewithal the falsehood of the heathen and the breach of oaths. Okay, so that's another way of looking at back. And see, he's not just looking at the good that God's done, but he's also looking at the pagans here. And that's another thing that we do today. We got to know the enemy. We got to know who the enemy is. Okay, and if you don't do that, if you don't know who your enemy is, how are you ever going to fight it? Okay, our enemy is Satan. Okay, and then their breach of oaths, of course. Oath-taking doesn't mean anything, neither is there printed word of any truth or force. 11, thus he armed every one of them, not so much with a defense of shields and spears, as with comfortable and good words. And besides that, he told them a dream worthy to be believed, as if it had been so indeed, which did not a little rejoice them. 12, and this was his vision, that Onias, who had been high priest, now remember how good he was, a virtuous and a good man, reverend in conversation, gentle in condition, well spoken also, and exercised from a child in all points of virtue, holding up his hands, prayed for the whole body of the Jews. 13, this done, in the like manner there appeared a man with gray hairs, exceeding glorious, who was of a wonderful and excellent majesty. Then Onias answered, saying, this is a lover of the brethren, who prayeth much for the people and for the holy city. To wit, Jeremias, the prophet of God. Whereupon Jeremias, holding forth his right hand, gave to Judas a sword of gold, and in giving it spake thus, take this holy sword, a gift from God, with the which thou shalt wound the adversaries. 17. Thus being well comforted by the words of Judas, which were very good, and able to stir them up to valor, and to encourage the hearts of the young men, they determined not to pitch camp, but courageously to set upon them, and manfully to try the matter by conflict, because the city and the sanctuary and the temple were in danger. 18, for the care that they took for their wives and their children, their brethren and kinfolks, was it in least account with them. But the greatest and principal fear was for the holy temple. 19, also they that were in the city took not the least care, being troubled for the conflict abroad. And now, when as all looked what should be the trial, and the enemies were already come near, and the army was set in array, and the beasts conveniently placed, and the horsemen set in wings. Maccabeus, in 21 here, seeing the coming of the multitude and the diverse participants, the diverse preparations of armor, and the fierceness of the beasts, stretched out his hands towards heaven and called upon the Lord that worketh wonders, knowing that victory cometh not by arms, but even as it seemeth good to him, to giveth it to such as are worthy. Okay, now that's a prayer for us today. Our victory is not coming through arms. It is not. Our armor is the Holy Ghost and truth, the real truth. It's a piercing sword. Yes, it is, but it's not carnal. It's a spiritual sword, and this is exactly right. No matter how big and how widespread the enemy of the Lord is and over against his people, we can have the same protection. We have it. We have it, folks. So this is really good. 22. Therefore, in his prayer, he said after this manner, O Lord, thou didst send thine angel in the time of Azekias, king of Judah, and didst slay in the host of Sennacherib 185,000. Okay? And that, I said, Hezekiah. This is the time here that we're talking about. And there's some ambiguities with the spelling here. And that happens when it comes directly out of the Greek Septuagint. Okay? And so this is the time of Hezekiah here. And Sennacherib was the same type of Antichrist figure. He was from Nineveh. He had the great round room to Nebo. In fact, that Nebo god is the same one that they're looking for in the telescope called Lucifer, because Lucifer and Nebo are exactly the same god, all right? Sennacherib had the great round room library here. It had a six-sided room and a phallic symbol in the middle. And that was the library of all this occult knowledge. And his own son slayed him here as he went back and begged his god for help, because this angel came down and just spanked the whole army, period. 23, wherefore now also, O Lord of heaven, send a good angel before us for a fear and dread unto them all. 24, and through the might of thine arm, let those be stricken with terror that come against thy holy people to blasphemy. And he ended thus. Okay, 25. Then Nicanor and they that were with him came forward with trumpets and songs. But Judas and his company encountered the enemies with invocation and prayer. 27. So that fighting with their hands and praying unto God with their hearts, they slew no less than 35,000 men. For through the appearance of God, they were greatly cheered. 28. Now when the battle was done, returning again with joy, they knew that Nicanor lay dead in his harness. Then they made a great shout and a noise, praising the Almighty in their own language. And Judas, who was ever the chief defender of the citizens, both in body and mind, and who continued his love towards his countrymen all his life, commanded to strike off Nicanor's head and his hand with his shoulder and bring them to Jerusalem. So when he was there and had called them of his nation together and set the priests before the altar, he sent for them that were of the tower and shewed them vile Nicanor's head and the hand of that blasphemer, which with proud brags he stretched out against the holy temple of the Almighty. And when he had cut out the tongue of that ungodly Nicanor, he commanded that they should give it by pieces unto the spouse, and hang up the reward of his madness before the temple. Now, when you see the term mad, that doesn't mean angry. That means crazy. And I tell you, if you've been around occultists, you'll find out they're crazy. All right? Because they just are. And especially if they're in a position of power, then they really get crazy. All right. All right. But back into the scriptures here. 34, so every man prays towards the heaven, the glorious Lord, saying, blessed be he that hath kept his own place undefiled. 35, he hanged also Nicanor's head upon the tower, an evident and manifest sign unto all of the help of the Lord. 36, and they ordained all with a common decree in no case to let that day pass without solemnity, but to celebrate the 13th day of the 12th month, which in the Syrian tongue is called Adar, the day before Marduk's day. Yeah, that goes right back to Esther and to Purim. Okay? And that's another name for her. Because like I said, it comes out of the Greek here. So there's we're going to do Esther because there's two Esthers. And of course, the one that's in the Apocrypha gives the spiritual end to all this, to Esther and Mordecai. Okay, so this is Mordecai. Thus went it with Nicanor, and from that time forth, the Hebrews had the city in their power, and here will I make an end. 38, now here comes the From the person with the pen. And if I have done well, and as is fitting the story, it is that which I desired. But if slenderly and meanly, that means average, it is that which I could attain unto. In other words, he's telling you he did his best. 39. For as it is hurtful to drink wine or water alone, and as wine mingled with water is pleasant and delighteth the taste, even so speech finely framed delighteth the ears of them that read the story. And here shall be an end. And below that it says, the end of the Apocrypha. This is a story of hard times, folks. Great trials. Very little did a man get to sit under his fig tree with his wife and kids. But it's an honest history. And these players aren't perfect. Judas isn't perfect, but he loved his people. And as you see here in 2 Maccabees, how much he loved God. Now, he does get killed defending his people. And he stayed true blue. And just like this writer did his best, and he's telling you, I've done my best to relay all this to you. Judas did his best, and his brothers, to defend his people and to give his life for others. That's monumental, and that's, we all have a duty. And right now we have this, because no matter who you are, you're seeking the truth here, you wouldn't be tuned in. You wouldn't be studying the Bible. So, but you share that truth, and that's our duty. And we have our trials today too. But it shows you the strength of these people. So it's a touching history. It's a true history. It is the most accurate history in the world over this period of time. So we've appreciated doing it. There it is. There's 1 and 2 Maccabees. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it here at the table and gotten more out of it as the Bible. The more you go through it, the more you know. I mean, it just never ends. So it's been a beautiful read. I'm happy that someone told me to do this. So there it is out there, buddy. Have fun, study, learn. I'm glad you made me do it. On we go to the next podcast. Bye-bye.